Hi, this is Pam Raglan, and I want to welcome you to a unique series of calls called AskPamRaglan.com. This is a unique blend of my own intuition, my deep knowledge about human behavior, and the information and measures that I've been doing since 2003 that have led me to a lot of innovative discoveries about the law of attraction and personal development. What I'm doing with clients and individuals like yourself is I'm answering your questions about not just general stuff, but what's really in your way. What's the number one biggest, deepest thing that's in your way that may otherwise take you decades or your entire lifetime to identify, but I can uncover usually for people in just a matter of minutes, so that then you can have some choices about what you want to do moving forward in your life so you can get rid of what's actually in your way. And I'll give you various options on that, including the option of thought shifting, which is what I do for people to help you clear dramatic chunks of past baggage and negativity from your life, or even quantum thought shifting, which gets rid of the whole entire thing and does a lot of other things too, like rebalancing your body and just a ton of other stuff that helps with things like addictions, ADD, eating disorders, obsessive compulsive disorder, or what some people call OCD, and on and on and on. So I want to invite you to listen in on these series of calls, and I would love to hear from you if you'd like to ask your own question. You can go to www.askpamraglan.com. That's www, and the word ask, A-S-K, and then my name, Pam Ragland, PamRaglan.com. So listen in now as I start the call, and you can be like a fly on the wall listening to me working with people, and throughout this process you'll learn a lot more about what gets in our way and what you can do about it. Thanks for joining me.
Restart the recording. Okay. So this is Pam Raglan, and this is the AskPamRaglan.com call, and I'm glad that you guys could join me. And I try to do these calls on a regular schedule, but I don't always get to with my schedule and things like that. But I was sitting in a conference. Oops, let me start the video recording also. See if I can do that. Okay. Hold on. I guess I have to save it. All right. Sorry about that, you guys. Let's see. What is today? Okay, there you go. Now let me record again. Okay, so I was sitting in this conference that I was at in Los Angeles, and I was actually driving home when I heard about the tsunami and the earthquake and things like that, and it just occurred to me that because of the level of this event, that there might be a lot of people that are wondering what's going on, panicking. I mean, I'm on the west coast of California, so now there's all, people panicking about the radiation fallout and things like that. So I thought it was really time for me to do another one of these calls. So what I'm going to do, for those of you who haven't heard me do one of these calls before, I have kind of some introductory information that I give you, because I am also going to answer some of your questions. And whatever questions you guys put in, if you guys, I have hundreds of questions, so I may not get to all the questions about the tsunami and the earthquake and things like that. But what I'm trying to do is kind of like filter through them and see if I can pick those out. And then if you're on the call, I may open it up a little bit to see if people want to ask any specific questions since I'm covering this topic tonight, okay? Let's see, I was in the middle of posting to Twitter. Let me do that. Okay, sorry, I'm very good at multitasking at the moment, am I? So I'm going to go through my basic things, the introductory stuff, and if you guys have heard me before, then you may hear me say it the same way, or you may hear me say it differently, but I'm going to go through that, and then I'm going to, I'll answer some of your questions also. Kind of the format of these calls is what I'll do is I go through the basic information, like the foundation, if you've never heard me talk before, so you know what I'm talking about. I'll answer some people's questions, and then I'm going to go into the information about what's happening with this earthquake and the tsunami and what it is. And, you know, it's funny, when I posted it, people were like, oh, I know what it is. It's this planetary thing. It's that sun thing. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is what's the root cause or the real reason why this is happening. There are the mechanics of how it happens, and then there's the reality of the underlying cause of what's happening on the planet right now. So that's what I'm going to talk about. So this is probably not information that you're hearing anyplace else, because I don't tend to receive the same level of information everybody else is getting. My stuff tends to be much more kind of high-level vision and tapped into kind of just a very kind of an all-knowing sort of source. So I call it divine information, but, you know, it's definitely not coming from me, because sometimes I have an idea, sometimes I don't. So that's what I'm going to be doing. And then I also do a healing at the end. So if you guys are on the line, and it will work if you're listening to the recording or watching the video. It's more powerful when you're on the line with everybody else. You just notice more of a difference. So if you can hang in, this call goes typically between an hour and an hour and a half. I plan on an hour and a half today if you can. And then I definitely stop it at that point, because that's when my kids come home from their dads, and so I have kind of a hard stop at that point in time. But because of the number of questions and just kind of everything that's going on, I will, I'll do my best to not talk too quickly, but try to squeeze in as much information as I can in that period of time. So I'm Pam Raglan. If you haven't heard of me before, basically my expertise is helping you change quickly and effortlessly. I've kind of been saying, okay, how do I really describe what I do? But it's really very accelerated change. And what's happening is, you know, things are always changing all the time, but a lot I really do is help you change faster than all these things are changing around you, so you can really experience a real change. And I'll talk about that. But my background, technically, I would call myself a healer. It kind of took me some hesitation to say that, but my background is transforming companies, and my expertise for the last more than 27 years now has been helping people understand how to change in really human behavior. So that's what I'm good at, and I've just gotten progressively better and better at that. Started this business 11 years ago. I find it interesting that we have all this stuff going on, and we're in 2011 and people are talking about 2012, and I'm in my 11th year of business, which actually has some significance in and of itself, but that's a whole other call. So what happened with me was, because I was used to transforming companies and really using measures and numbers and things like that to help the CEOs and the boards of directors of these big Fortune 100 companies really understand what seemed to me to be fairly self-evident, like we ought to be nice to our employees, we ought to be nice to our customers, I would use numbers to help them really see that. Back about 2003, I was helping people. I was one of the first coaches in 2000, and I really just found it to be painfully slow. So by about 2003, I was like, okay, how do I know how much I'm helping my clients? Because I'd already developed some methods that I knew we're helping people more quickly than others I could see around me, but I just wasn't sure like how to quantify that. And what I found when I started doing measures, and I've done thousands of measures since 2003, I guess I'm going into my eighth year of doing that, is that the average adult has 97.4% of all of our thoughts working against us. So a lot of times what happens, and one of the reasons why it is so difficult for us to change, is because it's just like a numbers game. We have just so much stuff in there that we don't even realize is there. And most of the methods that are out there today are sort of like taking a spoon and digging out the mountain. It's just, you know, the mountain's caving in and really nothing else is going on. And then I found that 96.4% of that is hidden in the subconscious, which means that most of us don't even know that we're doing it. We're completely unaware that we're acting upon a lot of these negative habits that are limiting and get in our way. All we know is the result of that, and we find out that we don't like the result, but we don't really understand it. So one of the things I'll tell people, and I say it kind of jokingly, but it's really true, is if your spouse, your significant other, or someone close to you says, oh, you're doing so-and-so all the time, and you think that you're not, that you probably are, because so much of this behavior is hidden to us, it's an automatic response. So let me explain a little bit about how that works, because it's actually just a physiological thing. Nothing I'm talking about is right now anything that really is rocket science, other than I'm the only one who has actually quantified the way that I have the amount of this negativity and the stuff that's in our subconscious. A lot of people will say a lot. I just quantify what a lot is. So what happens is, this is easier for those of you that are on the video, whenever we learn things by association. So behind me, there's a screen of pictures that I've taken, and it's a wooden screen. So you might learn that it's called a screen. Like, let's say you're growing up and you're a kid. Okay, you might learn it's called a screen, a wooden screen. photos, you might find a lot of different words for that particular item, all of which are valid, right? And then what happens is once we actually kind of create this groove in our brain called a neural pathway, it's kind of like creating a groove on the old records, if you guys have been around since records or CDs or whatever, we create a groove, and that makes it automatic. So once that groove is there, we don't have to relearn what a screen is over and over or the picture or whatever. We just know it. We look at it and we just know. So it's an automatic response. And tying up with that, there's the vision of what the screen looks like. There are there's the word screen or photos or whatever, all the different words that are associated. There's the any emotions that came about. Let's say that one of the pictures you thought was particularly beautiful, like a really nice photo, actually, one of my favorites of the, you can't see it over there, but I can see it, the French Grand Canyon, the Grand Canyon du Verdon, that's one of my favorite photos. So it might evoke an emotion. We have smell and taste and touch and all of our different senses that get wrapped up in this particular thing. And so when you see that item or when you encounter that item or when you encounter that circumstance, you just automatically bring all the other stuff up as well because it's all stored together. So that's the mechanic of how we learn, okay? So now what happens is, let's say that something goes in that's not desired. Let's say that the first time that you encounter the screen, it falls on your toe and breaks your toe, okay? Now, when you see a screen, you're going to have a negative reaction. You're going to remember the pain of it falling on your toe and things like that. So to the extent that that becomes automatic, now all of a sudden, when you see the screen, you've got a reaction. So essentially, what I call negativity, it's that grouping of those 97.4% of your thoughts that limit us, that cause us to feel anything but happy and elated, that all falls into the negativity bucket. And what because of this thing where it's all hidden, what I call it are the thoughts that we, the lies that we tell ourselves that we don't even know we're telling ourselves and we don't even know they're lies because there's just so many of them in there that. And, you know, there's things that we just take for granted. Like, we just think that that's how it is, and it's really not that way at all, okay? So that's kind of the mechanics of what's happening. Sorry, I'm looking over some little cold that I had for kind of hung on there. So that's what happens. And so we've got all this stuff. And what I found is that that's actually 3.5 million negative thought clusters. So to give you an idea, a popular system for getting rid of these negative ideas and these things that are in our way, limiting beliefs or fears or whatever, is to do something called affirmations or visualizations. You repeat the same thought over and over, the thing you want to create. And while that certainly does work, because each of those grooves I talk about takes about 26 days to overwrite that on average, and it really depends how deep it is, like how many times the groove is. You know, is it a trickle or is it the Grand Canyon? So depending upon that, it makes a difference. It's average of between 21 and 26 days. So if we worked on 100 a day and it took us 26 days to get rid of each of those things, some people think it's 30 days. That's why a lot of programs, they have you repeat things for 30 days. It would take you 2,136 years to get rid of all that negativity. If you were working on 100 things every day, which most people don't because that's a lot, and if you only had 3 million of these negative thought clusters instead of the 3.5 million that most people have. So the bottom line is you're not going to do it with these traditional systems that are out there. And it's funny, I was just at some event and I tend to, I don't mean to. I'm not trying to offend you if you're a healer and you've been doing work and you're really proud of the work that you do. My job here is to really inform people that the way that we've been doing it and the reason that it takes so long for so many people to change has really been the slow way. And that because, and you're going to see the integration of this when I talk about the earthquake and the tsunami and all that, because of what is happening on the planet right now, we just can no longer afford to do it the slow way. We just can't. So I was given what's really a gift, it amounts to a gift, with a process that I was told to call thought shifting, because it really works on a couple of different levels. One of them is just helping you see things a different way. The other is literally erasing the stuff that's in your way with this process I call thought shifting, or I was told to call thought shifting. And I work basically with two different ways that I work. One is that I will remove part of the negativity for you, so I'll work on specific issues. And the other is that I actually have a recipe I was given that removes it all, that goes in and rebalances the body and does all kinds of physical stuff in addition to removing the negativity. And to give you an idea of how powerful this can be, and I've had people who were raped and it just goes away. Like they can actually think about the person that raped them and, you know, not be in hysterics. I've had people who were afraid of things and it just goes away, many people. I've had people who tell me that they're just happy for no reason. I've had, and you know, and I can never promise, everybody's results are different, but because it all depends on what you're really needing to work on. But I've had people with multiple sclerosis that went away. I just found out that my son is autistic. And when he was 2, I did this process on him, and he's 8 now. He's so normal that nobody thought he was autistic. And they just kept testing him over and over again because they could see there were certain things, kind of like a disconnect in his learning, but between his capacity. But they said most autistic children don't really communicate and they don't connect with you. He's so communicative that he's in the genius level. And so they were shocked, frankly, that they brought in the head of the school district. And anyway, the bottom line is he is autistic, and that fills in a lot of blanks. And just that in and of itself has the capacity to help so many people. So I'm still figuring out, because he's been shifted all the way, and I'll explain that process in a minute. I'm still trying to figure out how I can bring that to more parents, because I know there's a lot of parents who would really give anything to have a son as normal as my son is. So basically I was given this gift, and it's really because the way that we've been doing things on the planet has been the slow way, and it's time to speed it up. We can no longer afford to keep digging at the mountain with the spoon. We've got to go in with dynamite and tear it down. Okay, that's where we are. Otherwise, the change is going to be so slow that we can never, we just can't get ahead of it. And to give you an idea of the mechanics, like there's different systems out there that help you get past roadblocks. Some of them just talk to you. Some of them have you identify things. Some of them, there's some methods like Sedona, release, or whatever that work on the emotional end of that that chain that I talked about that's got the thought and the neural pathway and all that. They're all working on pieces of that. What I'm doing with thought shifting is literally wiping the whole thing out. So the way that I work is mainly in groups, just to be able to help more people, but it's all remote, just like what we're doing now. But level one is a foundation that you must take. I didn't used to require it, but it's a foundation you must take to make sure that you're really ready for the level of change that thought shifting introduces, because it's a very accelerated change, and I can tell you that all day long. And it's funny, one of my private clients was saying to me today, "Pam, I know you said this, but I didn't realize that our thoughts would become so powerful." So what I found is that this negativity is in the subconscious, and when I start removing it, because things now start coming out of your subconscious, it shifts and your conscious thoughts become that much more powerful. So about 11% that gets removed at level 1, 25 to 50% at level 2, and it goes up like that, and then level 4 removes it all, and I call that quantum thought shifting. Now, to give you an idea, I've actually measured where healers and clearing people and all these different systems, where people have removed less than 0.5% over 30 years. So it's an extreme difference. You know, it's kind of like extreme healing is the way that somebody put it, okay? But it's something that we can't handle, but I do spend a lot of time. Most of what I do with people is supporting you in the change so that you can be most effective, because really the easy part for me is to get rid of all that stuff. That's really the easy part. In some ways I wish I could just do that and turn you loose. But what I find is that there is a big adjustment period, that's why I do everything by groups. It's the groups are all designed to help you adjust to that change and to capitalize on it, okay? So that's what I do. It's immensely powerful. I'm shying away from it now, but I've written a book about addictions. I even have worked with people to remove their drug withdrawals all remotely. Like heroin withdrawals are gone in an hour, to help people get off of anti-anxiety and anti-depression medicine. There's a lot of different places that I've been taken with this thing that I'm doing. But, you know, my job here is really to help you guys understand why it's so hard to change, and then to help you gain some insight and through answering some of your questions into what may really be in your way. And, you know, I know I kind of looked at some of the questions that I got, and there's quite a lot of questions that I'm going to group around money, and that's really reflective of what's going on. I think that always kind of happens, but that's been happening more. So I'm going to go through and answer some of those questions now. I'm kind of I'm trying to breeze through this a little bit faster than I usually do because I really want to get to spending some time on this the earthquake and the tsunami things that are going on as well. And people kind of want both, so I'm doing my best to give you both. Okay, so, and I have to write it down because what will happen is you'll ask, you'll say, you answered my question, blah, 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 and I will totally not even remember what I said. So it helps if I kind of write it down a little bit and keep track of it. Excuse me for coughing. So with that, I am actually going to go in. I'm running two computers here, and I'm going to check for some of your questions. And I've been trying to get through as many of these as I can. And let's see. Try to pick some out. I've got a lot of people that just came in to listen to. Then I want to talk about the earthquake and the tsunami and the impending nuclear stuff that's going on. Okay, so I got this question from probably, I don't know, at least 100 people, but I'm going to pick this one because it's pretty reflective. And this question, this particular one, is someone named JB. Okay, I won't say your last name. But, and because try to make this as like easy as possible for people. Okay, and you are in Michigan. So if that sounds like you, you're answering your question. And what JP is asking about is being in alignment with and receiving financial abundance. Okay. So I'm assuming that's not happening is what you mean. Okay. Back to the mechanics of that negativity. What happens in the subconscious's job is to create for you. So it's to create effortlessly the things that you want in your life based on what's already in there. So if something's in the subconscious, it thinks, oh, you want more of this, you want more of this. So as long as you have all that negativity in there, it keeps trying to attract back more of that. Okay. So the reason a lot of the systems aren't removing very much is because if they're able to clear anything, and a lot of them are not, if they're able to clear anything, it's such a small amount that the subconscious is so efficient that it's able to go in and attract that stuff back at a much faster pace than you can ever clear it out. Okay? So the difference with what I'm doing with thought shifting is because it's taking such huge chunks and doing the change so fast, yes, that can seem like that might be kind of hard for people, but I promise you, you do adjust to it. I help you because I've been doing this for a long time now. I'm a single mom with two kids. And so I kind of, you know, just came upon the scene slowly when I realized I could do this. But really in the last couple of years, I've been called to be helping a lot more people than I was helping. I was kind of, I don't want to say I was doing just enough to get by, but kind of, because I was a little bit overwhelmed just being a mom. But my kids are 8 and 9 now, and, you know, it's getting easier, and they're settling in, and I'm settling into this, so it's getting easier. Now I've taking my message out to the world a lot more, and just also with what we have going on the planet, this is just where we are, and it's what's needed, and I know that, okay? So I just want to let you know that part of the reason why you may even clear something out, but because the subconscious is so efficient, it just goes and attracts it back again. And what happens is it does it without you even knowing it. So there's already something in there, and it just gets pulled back in. The difference when I shift you, and I kind of abbreviate it to say that I'm shifting you, the difference when I shift you is that all of a sudden you're conscious to that, and you can say, wait a minute, do I want to take that back in? I don't need to believe that. I don't have to accept that back into my life. And it's amazing the amount of things that we have like that we just don't even question, in part because we're not given the chance to with all the stuff in the subconscious. But then, again, a lot of my job becomes to help you understand when you're hearing things and when you're seeing things, is that limiting or not? You know, to recognize the beast for what it is the way I want to put it, because we're so used to it, we almost don't see it. Okay, so back to JB's question about being in alignment with and receiving financial abundance. one of the things that you may or may not know that I do is I have a money CD that I do. And what the money CD does is it puts you into the vibration of money. And I actually have a book that I wrote around it that I haven't put out except for through one promotion that I need to put out also, because it's like a 30-day steady action guide and it supports the CD. People started doing the CD and saying, okay, I'm doing it, what next? So basically it gives you some framework about how to use that, because If you think like a radio station, what's happening with money right now is because of all this negativity, we're way down like in, you know, the 10 a.m. on the radio dial, and money is like at 106.7 FM on the radio dial. We are so disconnected from it. So because the way things work to bring things into us, some people call this the law of attraction, is that we need to be a match for that. We're not a match. So because we're not a match, we can't bring that money in. So I talk about that. I've got some free videos if you guys haven't seen them. A lot of you have, but if you haven't, at the number 5, moneysecrets.com. And then if the idea of that CD appeals to you, you can get it from those videos. It's available from there. And then I'm going to put the 30-day action guide down as something that would help you, but of course I have to be able to make it so you can get it before you could do that. Okay, so those are a couple things that can help as far as money is concerned. So when you're talking about being in alignment with and receiving financial abundance, one of the primary reasons we are not in alignment with money is because very simply, just as a matter of fact, we have so much negativity that is anti-money that we're just at two ends of the spectrum from money and we can't just bring it in effortlessly. And so one of the reasons I put that CD out is because I received from this divine information I get this meditation that actually helps put you in that vibration of money. And I did it and it was just like, wow, I couldn't believe the money that just started coming my way. And I thought, all right, this is really cool. I need to share this with people. And you know, there is a trick to it. And part of the trick is being in your heart, which I explain on the CD and also in the book I explain more than what's on the CD. Because that is our innate nature and that's when we're really plugged in, when we're coming from love. And you know, people kind of, there's a lot of overusing of these words in a way, love and light and all that. But what it really means is just simply, if you imagine a plug and all we're doing is plugging in, that's what we have the chance to do. Okay. So money is a source of power. So if we think about people that have money, we think of them as being more powerful. Well, what happens is very often we are giving up our power. We give it up in all kinds of ways. And it's little and big. You know, it's letting someone cut in front of you at the store, you know, all the way to letting someone take advantage of you and, you know, that they owe you money and not insisting that they pay you back. Okay, so there's all these different ways. So that's another thing that you have to do is you have to really, like, it's like keep your power. And it's not just around money, it's around everything. Okay, it's all connected together, and that's like a whole other seminar that I do. But I'm just going to say on the short level, that's the answer to that, and just recognize that the biggest way we get in alignment is by getting rid of the negativity that's in our way and then standing in our power. Like it's amazing when this happens. Like I have a Lexus, and my transmission went out 90,000 miles, and I found out it was a known design flaw, and I made Lexus fix it for free, and it was like a $5,000 repair, and everybody said, "Oh, Pam, they're never going to fix it." I said, "Yes, they are," and you know, people couldn't believe when I actually made them do it, and they did it. So, and then when I was driving it home, the check engine light came on after not even going 5 miles, and it turned out. It was this, we have all these O2 sensor things in California for our smog, and I made them fix that too because, you know, who knows what they did while they had my car. So it is definitely possible to be way more in our power and have it be a benefit to us monetarily. Now, I didn't make them fix it to avoid paying for it. I made them fix it because they knew, because who buys a Lexus and thinks you're going to, transmission goes out at 90,000 miles, nobody expects that. I mean, I have a Chevy Silverado truck that's got more miles in it than that and doesn't have a transmission problem. So most people expect the American car to go out first, and that's not what happened. So when I found out that they knew about it and they covered it up, that was, for me, that was the issue. If I just had a lemon, that would have been different. So it wasn't about getting the money. It was about doing the right thing. It's about standing up for ourselves and standing in our power and not allowing other people to get away with things. And that actually does contribute greatly to our financial abundance, okay? So again, I could do, and in fact, I do have a whole thing that I do on that. When you, I've got, it's like a money, and I do it maybe only like once every 6 months. When you buy the CD, I actually give you free ticket to that, to the money seminar thing. So I highly recommend it because they go into it in more detail. Okay. Now, let's take a look at... Sorry, I tried to turn my phone off, but it's still beeping at me, showing me that it's calling. Okay, turn it upside down. All right, so now we'll look at the negativity, though, because what I know for sure is if you've got a disconnect, besides giving up your power, which also typically comes from our misunderstanding about what power really is and how we should behave, it's typically coming from negativity, so I'm getting that that is a yes. All right, so in your circumstance, what I'm seeing is something... Okay, the other thing I forgot to tell you guys, and see in my haste to try to tell you everything really fast. By the time we're five, of that 97.4% negativity, by the time we're five, we have 61% of our adult thoughts already. This is, again, all research that I've done. And more than a third of them, or more than a million of those clusters, are already negative. Okay? So much of our negativity comes from the very, very early years, the times when we don't remember what we learned. And this is one of the reasons why it's real hard to identify, because you don't remember what happened when you were two or three. So how can you go back and identify that and articulate it, and using some system that requires you to identify it individually, get rid of it? You can't. Now, the other thing that happens is it's all stored back in the early years, okay, as what I call the idea of a thought rather than a thought. So sometimes how this looks to you is that there might be something that's really bugging you, and then you just, it's bugging you, but you can't put your finger on the words around it, okay? Because if you back to that cluster of thought, you have the emotion, and you've got the other senses around it, but you didn't have words then, so you can't put words to it. So a lot of times what you'll see I'll do when I answer the questions is I'm just putting words to something that's a feeling that you already kind of knew about, so then you can immediately connect it and go, oh, yeah, that's what it is. Now I get it, okay? I'm doing this for you. It's not going to remove it, but if it's a negativity. Okay. So let's see. So it is negativity. This has something to do with your mother for some reason. In the early years, the biggest influences are mom and dad or those caregivers that are around us. I'm seeing your mom at a table. And it's almost like she's doing something repetitive. I don't know if it's at home or if it's a hobby or if it was some kind of a job, but it's like she's doing something repetitive, and it was just not fun, okay? And what I'm seeing is that you made a connection that was how it had to be done, and you just didn't like it. Something about the money. I'm not really sure if it's a job. I just see her at a table, and she's doing something repetitive over and over, and that just didn't seem fun to you. Let me explain to you the other thing about how we learn this negativity, okay? Sometimes someone tells us something, and we internalize it. Up until the age of five, your thoughts are like under hypnosis, so you literally take everything in with no filter. Sometimes we hear someone say something. Sometimes we get an idea for ourselves about something in our kid's mind, which is way different than what we get in our adult's mind. And sometimes it's just by us watching and modeling what's happening. So this would fall into the modeling category, okay, where you're watching something, but then you're also making an assessment about it. And your assessment was like, not only like that's boring. It wasn't like boring. You didn't know that word boring. It's almost like you could feel the energy of her being unfulfilled. Okay, now, what this created for you was a connection that money equals unfulfillment. So if you look back over your life, I think what you're going to see, my sense is that most of the times when you've made money, it's not connected to you actually being fulfilled and doing something that you really love. And as a result, it's just not so fun. When it's not so fun, you don't want to do it, and then so therefore you don't make money. So this connection needs to get broken. Okay. Now, the other thing is, what I usually do for people is I measure your negativity. So you're at 98.2%, so a little bit above average. I see that a lot. I mean, it's an average. But this particular issue... It's 41% of all your negativity. So this is actually really huge for you. So you would be a good candidate for the level one and level two thought shifting. So the difference being, at level one, it's a foundation, and I prepare you for change, and so it shifts you by 11% in preparation for you to really change a lot more. Level two, you get to pick the issue you want to work on now with the foundation of level one, and then you can really make a lot of progress with that, and that's, again, 25 to 50% of your negativity. So one of these days I'll update that web page, but it's pamraglin.com/level2. And you know what, I need to send an email out about that when I do that. I haven't added the level one stuff on there. Okay, so that's an option for you that you could choose to help you be able to deal with this more easily. Okay? All right, so I hope that helps and really create less of a disconnect from what's going on out there. Okay. A lot more questions. Let me go through here. Wake up. I'm going to trying to do good time management here so I can spend quite a bit of time on the, come on, wake up. That was weird. We're just going to people from Australia today. Cool. All right. Let's see. Okay. I'm going to take Jennifer's question. Jennifer is from Colorado. Okay. This is, again, another common question. You know, a lot of times you guys write into me these questions, and it seems like you're the only one that has these issues. But, you know, the truth is, with all this negativity on the planet, there's so much commonality in these issues. You should never feel badly about anything, because chances are you are never the only one. Okay, so Jennifer says, I suffer from random, sudden, severe depression attacks. Okay, so it's more like an attack. I truly feel I no longer belong here and make plans to take my life. Then after a few days, I realize how utterly stupid that is. It just hits me out of nowhere. Any insights? I am seriously considering an antidepressant. Okay. There's a lot of, so I'm going to talk in generalities again about this issue so that you can get kind of a sense of it, and then I'm going to go into some of the specifics again, okay, with this particular item. Okay. All right, so let me explain a few things. First of all, if you think about us, our emotions and energy that comes into us, I want to put it that way because they're really two separate things, as being like the lava in a volcano. What happens is that stuff comes into us and it builds up and it builds up and it builds up and it has to get out. Okay. My addiction book may give some insight into this. It is at the, I think I have the and without the D, but seven, the number seven, Wise, W-H-Y-S, of addiction.com. So in other words, it's why addiction happens. Because even though you're not asking about an addiction, the MO is actually the same thing. This is the same exact scenario of what's happening when someone has an addiction. There's some really bad feeling in there. There's some way to try to deal with it. The consideration of the depression or the anti-anxiety medication. Getting to a certain place where you're trying to deal with it on your own, it's all like the same MO. What happens with people with addictions is they just use, you know, like a substance or something. It may be TV or sex or the computers or all kinds of things to compensate for trying to deal with this, okay? But it's the same exact thing. So what happens is these things build up, and they have to get out. And if we don't get them out in a way that is constructive and really fully expresses them, they keep building up. And then we're going to go through these cycles of highs and lows and highs and lows, okay? So they have to get out. Now, in our society, we don't make that easy. Because heaven forbid you're in a workplace and you cry. I mean, if you're a woman, it's better because we kind of expect it from you. But, oh my gosh, if you're a guy, that's just, like, not allowed. Who said men don't have emotions? That's ridiculous. You know, all you have to do is watch kids who start out equal to know that boys cry just as much as girls until they're conditioned to, again, with negativity, think that that is not okay. All right? So what happens is we start letting these things build up. And then it builds up, and then we will go through these cycles of the highs and lows. Now, the antidepressant or the anti-anxiety medication, what it does is it's going to make it worse. Because, you know, you've got this volcano, and it just puts a lid on it. So what those things do is they keep you from feeling your emotions. And at a certain point in time, that's going to blow. This is why they have on the packaging insert for those drugs that one of the side effects could be suicide. Okay, so how ironic is that you're getting depressed and you have plans to take your life and then you take something and it makes you more depressed. Okay, the difference is it makes it so you can't feel. But you're not actually getting rid of stuff. You're not expressing it. You're just not feeling it. And that is the difference. Okay, so now, how to help you, right? One of the things that, besides just understanding about it with addictions, is also, I really recommend journaling. Just like write and just let your feelings out. You don't have to tell anybody. It can be just for you, but just get them out. I journal almost every day. I still do. There's very few people in the world who really know what I'm up to and can really fully support me and be my friend. I mean, I have different levels, like we're moms or I have a horse. You know, we ride horses together. It's not the same. I mean, I have a best friend. But, you know, it's really helpful and important to get that stuff out. Expressing your emotions, express means to get out. So journaling is one way that can really help to get those emotions out. Exercise is another way. I love yoga. I'll try to remember to put a link in the email there's one of my favorite yoga things. It takes like 15 minutes. Yoga is another way. Walking, okay? Those are all ways that you can start to express and get things out. And just really what you're talking about is a cycle of highs and lows that can be brought more back into balance. Now, I do also want to say that everybody has natural cycles that you go through, okay? So some people more than others. My daughter, her design is to be emotional. She goes through highs and lows. I don't do that. I feel other people's emotions, so I'm more steady, okay, with my own. So, you know, you can have a design like that kind of makes it so that you have the highs and lows. But the lows should never be so low that you feel like you want to commit suicide. Okay, that's not the same thing that I'm talking about. Now, I do have a sense there's some negativity wrapped in here, okay? So remember, we're talking about the negativity and how it, you know, influences things. This is my sense. My sense is that you really learned how to be a victim. Now, this is something I definitely talk about in my Level 1 program, and I would really encourage you to look at the Level 1 program for this aspect, because my sense is, again, you learned it from your mom. I'm seeing, like, from ages 2 on, which pretty much is like when you might have noticed and started paying attention to it. It doesn't mean she didn't start acting like that until you were 2, but it just means that you really weren't paying attention before that. You didn't really notice. And then all of a sudden you became more aware about the age of 2. So let me tell you what that looks like. Like I had cancer, okay? When you have cancer, automatically everybody wants to say, oh, I'm sorry, you know, how are you doing? Okay, I'm always like, I'm okay, all right? I could have very easily said, when people started feeling sorry for me, felt sorry for myself. That is a victim state. Victim is a very powerless state to be in, and that will lead us to more depression because we just don't feel like we have any control. So the less control we have, the more we tend to be depressed and be upset and, you know, feel like life doesn't have the same kind of meaning that it could because we didn't have control over it, okay? So we take back our control whenever we move into taking responsibility for our lives instead of being a victim and recognize that we really are in the driver's seat. Maybe we don't have the capacity at that point in time because of the negativity. Maybe we don't know how, but we really are. So that's what I see, is that the negativity is around you learning that from your mom, okay? And also, that was, again, modeling, like I explained earlier, that you're seeing how someone else is acting and you're following it. But I am also getting a sense that it was reinforced, just even with the words that your mom uses or used. Hope that makes sense. Okay. Now, the good news about that is the negativity, of course, can be removed. So, now, so I would look at level one for sure, and then possibly level two for the negativity. Level one will remove some, but it's going to be, again, more a foundation to help you learn to change. But for sure, the level one program I would take a look at. Okay, and again, that's at pamregland.com/level 2 because I just put it all in one place. But I need to update that. Okay, so I hope that that helps you and helps give you some insight. I mean, I get upset when I see how much anti-anxiety and anti-depression medicine is allowing people to deal with the real issue, whatever that happens to be. Okay. I'm gonna take another one on money. This is kind of a different one. This is from someone named Johans. I'm hearing a noise again. I hope we don't hit this line. I don't know what's going on with the. Oh, got a lot of people out there. Okay. Just want to make sure I didn't lose you. Okay. Sorry. Got to go back to my email. Okay. So Johans is saying, and Johans is from Dallas. Hey, I like Dallas. Spent a lot of time there. And my big client named Halliburton was out of Dallas, out of actually Houston, but I spent a lot of time in Dallas also. Okay. So Johans says, I want to earn 5 to 6 figures per month. And truly believe it's possible. Oh, the other thing I'm going to tell you is that one of the things I'm coming out with, I'm not sure exactly what this is going to look like yet, but I'm coming out with some kind of like, I have this thing called the Have Anything Club that I've only ever opened it up to my clients for support, but I'm contemplating opening it up to other people too who want to ask questions like this and make sure that your question is actually the one that gets answered, or ask me anything like, you know, whatever questions you always wanted to know from when you were a kid or whatever. So I'm kind of toying with that idea. Okay, I want to earn 5 to 6 figures a month and believe it's possible. I'm presently learning to create income online, but unsure whether or not the information I'm learning is useful for earning a large monthly income online. How can I tell what law of attraction is lined up for me to achieve my monthly goal? Okay. Okay, first of all, I'm going to tell you, I do have a sense you've got some negativity in the way, so we'll talk about that in a second. But I want to answer your more general question that you asked first. How can you tell? You can't always tell. So let me explain to you the process of law of attraction a little bit. And I cover this more, I forget if it's my level one program or if it's my level two program. Those are both kind of foundational programs about how to create, and I keep moving things around because I started out with level one with only one class, and then I made it bigger, then I made it its own thing, and so everything's just kind of evolving. And I have so many things to teach and like the support thing that I have to kind of chunk it up for people. So in one of them, level one or level two, I help you understand about creating and how we actually create with our thoughts and how the law of attraction works. But I'm going to say like the short answer is that we focus on the what, and the law of attraction is about letting the how appear, okay? So we're not in charge of the how. We're only in charge of the what, the thing that we want to create. Now, if we're not lined up with what we came here to do, and if our thoughts are not lined up with that, it's almost impossible for us to create that. That's a thing. That's where that negativity gets in the way, because the alignment's not there. This is why, you know, people can do law of attraction stuff all day long and they don't see anything different. As opposed to one of my clients I was talking to today who just creates all kinds of stuff. Now, it takes just as much effort to create something small as something big. So, like, one of the things I love to create all the time is an easy parking space, and then I'll kind of play with it and go, oh, I want an even closer parking space the next day or whatever. Like, I was at this event in L.A. for 4 days. So I got a close one the first day, and I'm like, oh, this is pretty close. Let me see if I can get closer. And then the next day I was, like, right by the door. And I've done that multiple times. It's just kind of fun, okay? So, you know, not that it hurts me to walk or anything. It really doesn't. It was just kind of fun. So... and that's really what this is about. This life is really about being able to capitalize on the power that we were given, the people that we were given, and have fun with it. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So the way the match gets created with you for Law of Attraction, when it's something that you are passionate about, not you think you should, or someone else says you should, or you heard somebody else did it, or you noticed someone else did it, but when you're passionate about it, you love it, okay? The passion comes into play, and then when there's no negativity in the way. Okay, now, can you make 5 to 6 figures a month? Yes, you can, because one of the universal laws is the law of abundance. And we all operate under that. I had a medium tell me once, well, you know what, I just think that not everybody's here to be abundant. And I said, I disagree, because a universal law is one which applies to everyone, and one of the universal laws is the law of abundance. That means it applies to everyone. There is not a single exception on this planet. Now, you may have chosen to have certain experiences while you're here, and I do believe on some level we are in agreement with that process before we come here, of what our purpose is going to be and how that's going to play out. So maybe sometimes we need to lose money in order to facet of our purpose be understood, so that then we can really move, you know, for example. But by and large, most of those trying to serve kind of circumstance, that thing that's driving it is just not there anymore. That's what happens. So the first thing you want to do when you're trying to focus on something is look at that it is your dream, not someone else's. And then you want to look at having no negativity that's basically sabotaging what you're putting out there with your conscious mind. And I did already say that I sensed that there was some negativity in the way. Okay. Now, can you make 5 or 6 figures a month? Yes, you can. I have done it. Okay. I am a single mom with 2 kids. I work 2 days a week. This year, at some point in time, I've got like 3 programs. That I was divinely given to put out this year. But one of them is about basically starting your own business and all the myths and basically all the negativity around that, okay, and how we just have all these ideas because people will tell me, oh, you can't do that, or oh, you're so lucky. And I'm like, I'm not lucky. That's what I created. I said, I want to work 2 days a week. I put all the criteria out there. I want to make at least this much money. I want to, you know, and at first it was like I had no idea what I was going to do back in 2000 when I started this business. It was, okay, I want to work 4 days a week instead of 2 I'm at now. I want to make at least as much money before, which was 6 figures I was making before. I want to travel once a month instead of every day of the week because it was obviously wearing on my health with my second major illness, and I have no idea what I'm going to do, okay? So that's what I put out, and then all of a sudden I just watched it unfold. And now, and then I said, you know, I like to work 3 days. And then I finally said, oh, yeah, I like to work 2 days. Because my kids, since I'm single, they go to their dad's 2 days a week. That's his 20% visitation he gets. And so I work while they're gone. And then the rest of the time that they're here, unless I have some event or something like that, I can spend time with my kids. We go to Disneyland. You know, I do things at their school. You know, we just hang out at home. It gives me the freedom to be able to do things the way that I want to do it, and I know that I can never get that time back with my kids. So I really value that. So can you do it? Yes. Does it apply to you? Yes. Is it lined up? It could be lined up. But you need to make sure, I do have a sense that there are pieces of what's going on that is about someone else's dream and not yours, and also that there is some negativity sabotaging. So let me focus on, I can inform you about you picking up on someone else's dream, but that is something that you have to make a different choice about. I can't really do anything about that. The negativity, however, I can. Okay, what I see is your dad, and your dad struggled to do what he loved to do. He had a lot of have-tos. And when I say had, it doesn't mean he's gone. Just I'm looking back into your childhood and seeing this. Okay, again, about 4 years old. You're noticing where he just was like kind of like unfulfilled. A lot of that going on today on this call. Okay, sometimes it's different kind of things happen, or someone said something, or someone got this idea of something. This is actually pretty kind of basic. And I see that you got this specific negativity that basically I can't make money doing something I love. So since then, you've kind of been just doing all kinds of stuff that's just to make money. Now, money is never a powerful motivator. I know it seems like it is when you don't have a lot, but the truth is, the second you have enough, it's no longer a motivator. You know, then people care more about other things, okay? So it's not the most powerful motivator. It's not the most altruistic reason to do something. It's so important to get in touch with what is really important to you, your passion, okay? So again, one of the ways that you can do that is with journaling, where you just go through and say, you know, what do I really love? Like someone asked me at this event this weekend, Pam, what do you love? I love being on stage. I love being up in front of a group of hundreds of thousands of people. Honest to God, I do. Some people, that would terrify the heck out of them, because that's not their role, but that is my role. I love it. It's, like, so fun for me. I love, like, the thing I don't like about this process, I mean, I love being able to help you all, but, and I love it, you know, you guys can see me on video, but I can't see you. Like, I can't see the reaction when all of a sudden it puts something in perspective for you that maybe you hadn't seen before. I like that. So that's the part I miss about this process, but, you know, I'm at home and it's all balanced. So journaling is one way. Let's look at the negativity too. I didn't measure the last person, but again, you've got 98.4% total negativity, so about 1% above normal. And this issue of I can't make money doing something I love has then been translated into basically I can't have anything I want, okay? And I see that it's just got this big, huge presence in your life. And you can get rid of that. Okay, so the particular issue is 56% of all the negativity. I saw that it was big. Now, once you get into something that's above 50% like that, really, you can do the thought shifting, the level 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever, but you really need to go to level 4 at a certain point. Now, everybody will benefit from level 4, so let me give you a distinction. Somebody put it to me this way, and I was like, oh, this is, it's kind of a good way to put it. It's like if you have a virus on your computer but you only remove part of it, the virus is still there. And it's just going to keep like multiplying itself again. But once you remove all of it, it's gone. Okay, that's the difference between level 1, 2, 3, and level 4 is removing it all. Okay, that's the difference. So as long as there's still something there, it just kind of starts growing back again at a faster pace. Now, you not faster than you can get ahead of it. Okay, but it will keep doing it. It's going to be more work. It's more effort and more work, levels 1, 2, 3. But for some people, that's the right starting place. You know, you may get enough of a benefit out of that that you're good with that, okay? But I see that you really need level 1. You need to go all the way to level 4 because what happens is the brain is like a spider web, and it's all connected, and the more interconnected it is, like this matrix, the more you get little, you get habits over here and thoughts over here and emotions over here and just all this stuff and habits based on this, based on this, based on this. It's like a snowball that keeps going downhill. You just get more and more and more of that kind of stuff. Okay, so that's why. All right, so I hope that helps. Let me take another one here. I'm doing pretty good talking tonight. Usually only gets about 4 or 5 questions. Let's see. Okay. The the earthquake and the tsunami. I see people from all over. Okay, I've talked a few things about money, so I'm gonna. A reading question here. Sorry guys, I'm trying to go through and I'm looking for a new assistant who could organize these for me before I get into it, but I didn't want to wait to do a call. Okay. All right. I'm going to answer this one because I think this is a common one for everyone. This will probably be the last one for the night because I want to make sure we get to all the earthquake stuff as well. Okay, so this is Sarah, and Sarah's in Atlanta. Okay, so if that sounds like you, Sarah, you are on. Okay, now, okay, so Sarah's question or Sarah's comment is, I'm surprised no one's asking me more stuff about the earthquake. Maybe you guys just don't even know what to ask. Recurring health issues, which I feel come from feeling invisible and stagnant. Okay. I feel like I've not done in this life what I was supposed to do, whatever that is, how to come alive. Get a lot of questions about purpose. That's basically what you're asking about. So this is kind of a cool question because it's got a lot of really neat parts. So let me start with the health issues, okay? And let me explain a little bit. I talked earlier about the volcano and how the emotions and the energy comes in. And when I say energy, I'm not just talking your emotions. I'm talking, let's say that you're a caretaker and you allow other people to drain you, or you do too much for people, or you care about what other people think. There's all kinds of ways, and I do talk about this starting in level two, okay? But then it's then there's more advanced topics that go all the way through what I have as a level five about this issue, is that we're not supposed to be giving up our energy to anybody. We're supposed to be plugged into the source. But we give it up in, you know, a million different ways, okay? So what happens is, and we take stuff on, okay? So it builds up and it builds up and it builds up and it's going to blow. And it may blow in depression, it may blow in anxiety, it may blow in an injury or an illness. Like, ironically enough, I went to the doctor just for a follow-up on my routine checkup for the year and everything like that. And I said, oh, I noticed you were sick. And she said, well, I wasn't sick. I had back pain. And I ended up telling her why she had back pain and explaining to her, because my doctor is very much a caretaker. She takes the energy on, and explaining to her why that was a problem and how that resulted in her back pain. So what happens is we've got this, we're like a volcano, and it's all building up and it's going to blow. And it comes out in health issues. When I see somebody that's got recurrent health issues, back pain, carpal tunnel, neck pain, headaches, all that, I know what's going on is a buildup of all this crap that's in there. Even though it might come from an accident, it doesn't matter. An accident is never an accident, okay? So, yeah, it builds up. And then, we have to get it out. So, I'm going to say it's got to build up. And then I'm going to talk about the purpose. There's two pieces there. So one of the things that would help you again is the journaling. That's to start with. Okay. And then also, I have a sense that you need to take a look at my caretaking self-study. I always forget what it is. I think it's pamragland.com/stop-caretaking or stop caretaking now. I should really find out. I should send it out with a link. But it's either stop caretaking or stop caretaking now. It's one of those two. PamRagland.com and then / one of those two. Okay, what the caretaking program does is it teaches you about if you are taking on other people's stuff or giving up your energy, which then contributes to these health problems. Okay, so you might want to take a look at that. It's all digital. It's got like a work, an action guide that you can go through, and then some audios that you can go through as well. And listen, I think it's maybe 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 hours of audios. I don't know. It's quite a bit. And it's pretty inexpensive. Okay, so that's something that I would take a look at because I do have a sense that you are taking on stuff from other people. Now let's talk about purpose. So purpose is a direct result of being conscious and making conscious choices that help us along our path. So when all this negativity is in our subconscious and it's running the show, it is impossible for us to be conscious because we are not in charge. So while we've got all that negativity, it's frankly impossible for us to fully live our purpose. We will not hear the messages whenever they try to come into us. We will not take action on the messages whenever we're given to take action. That's exactly what will happen. So we will be off purpose. And one of the things I measure, and over the years I started with the measures on negativity and the number of negative thoughts and the subconscious and all that. I measure a thing called frequency, which is our vibe. It's like that radio station where we're on the radio station. One of the things I also measure is purpose. And I know for a fact that the more I shift people, the more on purpose they become. So the more negativity that gets removed, the more on purpose you become. Because now, you know, you may hear the thing that you're meant to do, but you're afraid to take action on it. Or you're overwhelmed with all the stuff coming in because there's all kinds of, those 3.5 million negative thoughts are running in our head constantly at any moment in time. So you've got all that stuff coming in there, and then you've got a few thoughts that are meant for you about your purpose, and it's hard to separate the wheat from the chaff. Get rid of all that stuff, all of a sudden it's like, wow, I had no idea how peaceful it could really be. I mean, I'm very ADD, and like nobody's business, that's a good side of it, but my head used to be busy, 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 and after it got shifted, it was just gone. It's hard to describe. It's like this peaceful thing. It's like, you know, if I'm telling you in the water and swim when you've never been in the water, it's very difficult to explain the light, buoyant feeling that you feel whenever you've never experienced that. That's kind of what we're talking about here. We're talking about a state that is so different than from what most people are used to that it's just difficult to describe, okay? So I know for a fact that the more I shift you, the more on purpose you become. And one of the reasons we don't do our purpose is exactly what I said, it's that negativity. Now, you have some specific negativity in that area, too, and I want to talk about that, okay? And then you said how to come alive. Coming alive is really a function of expressing ourselves fully, which means being on purpose. It means getting those feelings out. It means having fun. It means living our life. And the thing is, while we have all this hidden negativity, we're not doing that. We're afraid, you know, we've got stuff in our way, we're not attracting what we want, we're struggling just to survive, so many people, just to keep your head afloat, not even thinking about how it really feels to just have fun and express and enjoy yourself, okay? So it's all kind of connected together. So let me look at the specific negativity on purpose. This has to do with your mom now, okay? Number 3. Again, it's weird, kind of like a big theme tonight. Maybe it's just a function of who came on the call or the question of orders or what I was supposed to talk about. But, again, I'm getting an impression of very, very unfulfilled. Like, she might have been like a housewife or whatever she was doing, she was just not happy. And she just was not happy. She reminds me kind of my mom in a way. Like, my mom was incessantly miserable, and she cried all the time, and she just was, like, not happy. I'm just miserable, really. And your mom, the one I'm tuning into, reminds me of my mom that's not a compliment. That's not in a good way. So I'm just feeling this feeling of really being unfulfilled. And it's not even like you took that on and said, oh, I have to be like that. Although you did do some modeling of her behavior, it's almost like you just didn't know how to do it any differently. If that makes sense. Like, you would have, but you didn't have a role model. You didn't have anybody around you. You just didn't see any way to do it differently. And, you know, it's interesting. I wrote this article, and hopefully this thing will get published pretty soon, and it's called How to Make Money by Breaking the Rules. And what I realized is I was listening to a lot of professionals, because I'm looking to take my business to the next level, and I was listening to a lot of professionals, and they were giving me the same old tired advice, and I went, why am I listening to that? I've always made money by breaking the rules, always. Because what rules are there for a single mom with two kids who's making, you know, six figures in 1 month and, you know, runs an entire business and helps people like I do? There are no rules for that. So I just said, okay, why am I trying to get someone to give me some rules when they don't exist? That's the thing. You didn't know how to do it any differently. You didn't have the role model to do it any differently. So then that requires that we either have to forge our own way or go find someone else who can help us with that. Okay? So this is negativity. Now let me look at what we've got going on here. You're at 97.2% total negativity, which isn't bad. You're actually below normal. But this issue is at 47.2% negativity for you, okay? So what that means is it's a significant, again, the higher the number is, the more you will really benefit by more shifting, okay? Everyone will benefit by level four, but it may not be right for everybody, okay? Because, again, it's very accelerated change. So it's always good to, like, do level one, see how you feel, and go to level two. But my sense is that you need to get shifted at least to level two. Okay. So again, that's pamraglin.com/level2. I'll get that new stuff out there. Okay. So now I'm going to talk about the earthquake. I'm going to change our tactics here for a moment. I've done two things. One is I've gone in and just gotten some divine infos up because I want you to notice a few things. First of all, I'm supposed to explain some things to you. Okay. Happening on the planet right now is in order to bring us back into balance. So I want to give you a visual, okay? So the visual is the old-fashioned sheets that hang from a clothesline, okay? If you just imagine the old-fashioned sheets that hang from a clothesline, it's hanging on the line, and you take your arm and you push it through the sheet. Can you see? I'm trying to get the video in the way so you can kind of see it, and I'm not you see nothing but a hand, which is scary. Okay, so like you're pushing it, and the further you push it out, you make this lump, and the bigger the lump becomes. Okay, so what's happening is the dark, and there's many words for that, but I'll call it dark because that's how I look at it, the negative, hard, low-frequency, bummer, limiting energy. Okay, all of it, those things are true about the dark, has been running unopposed on this planet for a good couple thousand years now, okay? Now what's happened is there are a lot of people who have been brought here to help this planet make a shift. There's a lot of focus on helping us make a shift. And that energy comes more from the light. So one of them comes from fear and heaviness and oppression. The other one comes from light, and it is really from love, okay? So that energy is coming in, trying to create a shift in the planet, because if this dark keeps running unopposed, pretty soon it crashes us into the ground and burns us and we're done, okay? And we're, I mean, at 97.4%, it's actually higher. Since I've been shifting it, it's gone up to 97.5%, which is when I knew I had to shift a lot more people, because the people that I've been working with, it's not making enough of a dent, okay? So it's actually higher. It's still rising. And if we keep with this pace, you know, pretty soon our planet is going to crash and burn. So we've got all these, but that's not going to happen. I don't see that happening. Because we've got all these resources coming to help. But where the two meet, if I can find it on here, where the two meet creates conflict, OK? okay? As long as the dark is running opposed, it just keeps going. But as soon as the light comes in and it crashes into the dark, now we have conflict. That's what we see happening on our planet right now. We're seeing a great deal of conflict because of the light pushing back against the dark, all right? So now what's significant is if we look at this earthquake, you keep hearing talk about the energy, the shift. We have a big shift occurring on the planet right now. Now, some people will say it's because of the sun or this planet or that planet, whatever. Those are all the mechanisms that things may occur, but that's not why it's occurring. The reason it's occurring is a result of everything that we've got going on the planet right now. So I want to tell you about a few things, okay? And then really the position that will do us the most justice to take with all of this going on. So that's in our best benefit. So what I was given is the planet is majorly shifting. And this event is a reflection of this. I mean, we have first the earthquake, then we have the tsunami, now we have the radioactive fallout that everybody's worried about. And I understand that the media was told and they're being fined for actually saying things that's anything other than what's based on fact and even what some people may think is actually a fact because there's great concern that there's going to be a huge amount of panic. Apparently, the radioactive or the iodine, potassium iodine, has already run out in a lot of places, and people are selling it for $5 a pill or $50 or some ridiculous thing. I don't have to worry about it because I don't have a thyroid. But that's when I had cancer, that's where it was. But, you know, we've got all this panic starting to ensue, okay? So this event, the planet is majorly shifting, and this event is a reflection of this. So again, we've got this collision going on between the dark and the light. And the only way to push back a force that's moving forward is to push it back. It's the only way to do it. It has to happen that way, okay? But there are many elements to it, okay? So here are some of the elements. One of the good elements of it is these things bring us a chance to bring the world together. It's going to make me cry to think about this. It's amazing and heartwarming to see how many people really come together in this kind of a disaster, and how many, not only people, because of so many people who are affected, but even people who are not affected, they're just affected on a level of compassion for, you know, these people, are able to, you know, do things like money drives and things like that and bring that all together. It's a way to bring our planet together, okay? So that's one of the things. And I put it this way, if you think of it like there's this big old huge block of ice and we drop it on the ground and it breaks into a million pieces, we are all connected. We're all one of those pieces. So if we ever think that what happens over there doesn't affect us, it does affect us. And that's another thing that we're being shown, is that on a big, massive scale, that something that happens all the way on the other side of the world, I mean, I was, you know, again, I'm on the West Coast. So it's amazing to me that, first of all, I mean, my best friend woke me up at like 3:30 in the morning because his sister was over in Hawaii and she had gotten evacuated from her hotel. So from Japan, you have this movement to Hawaii, which of course is in the United States, and then it just kept moving to where, I mean, the tsunami to where it affected definitely the coast of California, and I don't know much about what happened in Northern California, but I know it hit it stronger than it did in California. There's a couple, Crescent City, and even in Southern California where I am, there were boats overturned and things like that. So it's amazing, the ripple. But what's happening is there's always a ripple. There's always a ripple. We just don't recognize it. So this event is helping us to understand there's always a ripple. We need to keep that in mind. There's always an effect of everything we do. And that's another universal law that I teach about. It's called cause and effect. There is always an effect for everything that happens, always. But typically we don't see it and we don't understand it. It's bringing it to our awareness. And then the planet is literally shifting into the collision of chaos. You know, as I explained, it's shifting. If you look at the roads in Japan, I mean, like, I need to get a picture of that. It sticks in my mind where you've got the road and then you've got the other piece of the road that's like 10 feet above that road. It's a huge, huge, huge shift. And this collision that's happening, because the light is really starting to push back more, is occurring on a much bigger scale because we need the change to happen a little bit more quickly, okay? So a lot of these things that are happening, I mean, you have this, you've got what's happening over in Libya, you've got, you know, what's happening over in Egypt. Those are not necessarily bad things. Those are a switch out of whoever's in power. Now, of course, we have yet to see what's going to happen in Libya. And we have really yet to see what's going to happen in Egypt. But what's really cool about it is people all of a sudden are saying, this is not okay with me anymore. They're standing up, as I said earlier. They're standing up for themselves. They're taking their power back. And so we see a lot of this happening all over. So this is also just another thing that's happening where that helps with our accelerated change, helps to kind of actually accelerate the change on the planet faster, okay? Now, there is another piece of it. Because we do have more change that's happening and change that's happening more quickly, there are some people for whom that feels like it's too much and they're just kind of leaving the party. So we see a lot of mass exodus of life right now. And I really believe on some level that we are in agreement when that happens, okay? That it's not that we are responsible for it, but that we're in agreement to say, okay, this is the time that I'm willing to go, all right? I mean, I personally have almost died like 14 times. I'm still here. But who knows? That we pick that we, not pick, but we allow that, okay? So there's it's kind of like they're tired and they're ready to go and they... the change that's happening that's so fast, they can't probably keep up. And you know what? Within a year, my grandma and my mom both died. And my grandma was like my mom to me, so it was very devastating. And then my mom died not even a year later, which was shocking because she was only 66. But when I look at them, I think, okay, I'm not sure they could survive the speed of the change that is beginning to happen on this planet right now. So there are some people that just say, you know what, this feels too hard. Now, could they really? Yes, of course they could. But that's not the same thing as them saying, really embracing that, okay? So that is also happening. Now, another thing that's happening is we're being given a chance to decide enough is enough. And we must move things back into balance. So it's almost like, okay, we can get like a little kick in the ankle and a kick in the shin, and this happens to us personally too. And, you know, then someone kind of like taps us on the shoulder, and pretty soon we get the big old knock in the head because all those other things, for whatever reason, we just didn't notice or we didn't take action on it, okay? That's also happening too on where this shift needs to take place much faster. So this is in to propel us into something. Eventually, the economy, people losing their jobs, all of it is really a way to propel us into a totally different place. Because if your house is gone and you just need to start over, maybe that's not where you're going to start over. Maybe you're going to start over some other different place. I have a lot to tell you about that at another point. Okay. So I'm going to see if there's anything else to say to you. Let's just say, okay, that there are some people on this call right now who are very terrified. They've heard some things about the end of the world and that this is the end times and that these things are starting to happen and they're beginning to get very scared and operate from fear. And what I'm being given to tell you is that we really just need to stay from love and be in our heart. If you have my money CD, I have a heart meditation on there that helps you to be coming from love, and who knows, maybe I'll put that out and just for some donation for the earthquake or something like that, make just that available to people, because it's so, so, so powerful right now to stay in your heart, to stay coming from that place of love. Fear happens in your head. It's not the reality. Fear is false evidence appearing real. So what they're giving me is that there are some of you that are just, you're coming so much from fear that it's going to really get in your way and that you don't need to do that. And also to remind you that we get more of what we focus on. So if we focus on these bad things that are happening and the fear and how horrible it is and how terrible the planet is, we're just going to get more of that. And we need to stop and step back and just the most powerful way to accelerate this change in the smoothest way possible is to be coming from love and be in our heart. And they're going to have some people around you that aren't going to understand this, and that's okay. And they can be in the place where they are, and you're in the place where you are, and you can be in that place where you just sit in a place of peace about what's happening. In the place of panic, we don't get a lot done. You know, it's like the idea of running around like a chicken with your head cut off. But in the place of peace, we actually accomplish so much more. Okay. So that's kind of what I'm being given to tell you as far as what's happening on the planet and just the change that's happening. You're not to be afraid of it. You're not to be afraid of it. You're to be in your heart and come from love and recognize that the really cool thing about the more this light pushes back against the dark is the more and more that happens, the more and more this planet moves into balance, the more and more it becomes a place that's more like heaven on earth that we would all really like to live in. So we all have a chance to participate in that and what's happening. We all have a chance right now. And so, yeah, I think that's it. I don't think there's anything else about that. I don't know if anybody has any questions about that. I know my kids are going to be coming home in a second. If you're on the call and if you want to ask me a question about that, you can push star 3 and I'll see you, and I think I'll call in a couple people. And my kids may pound on the door for a second. What I'm also going to do while that's happening is I'm going to do the healing for you and just see if anybody has a question. So, okay, what I want everyone to do is, unless you're driving or operating heavy machinery, I just want you to close your eyes. And I hear someone on the line, so I'll come to you in just a second. I just want you to close your eyes. And I just want, unless, of course, again, you're driving or operating heavy machinery. Okay. What I just did with you is put you in a place of protection, basically, to allow everything that's happening here to make it a little bit easier for you to adjust. Okay, I'm going to, first person I'm going to call is, I see somebody at 541, so hang on a second, I'm going to have to do some shenanigans with my phone here to get you on the speaker so everybody can hear you. Let me see if I can figure that out. Okay, there we go. Okay, go ahead. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Hi, this is Marie from, I just did level 3 with you.
Okay, hi Marie.
Hi. Well, what I was curious about was what you mentioned. I don't know if you have time to talk about it, but you were saying that something about how people might need to shift their locations and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
You just mentioned it like 5 minutes ago. Yeah.
Yeah. To shift your location, or you just wanted to... There's something else also for another time, but a lot of what's happening right now, both with the disasters and also with the economy of people changing homes and things like that, actually has to do with the rearrangement of the energy. So many people have been in a place that may not have supported them, and maybe they lost their home or they lost their job and they had to make a different choice, or their home was washed away with the tsunami or the earthquake, it was destroyed or whatever, any number of things. But the other side of it is it gives them a chance to step back and say, okay, now where do I really want to go? So it almost like creates this blank canvas to let you start over. It almost gives an excuse to start over where people might not have had the courage to take that step. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, that totally does.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my only question, really.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's kind of that's what I was given about that. Okay, cool. All right, thank you for asking. I'll meet you back out.
Yeah, I did it. I think I did the phone shenanigans. Okay, cool. All right, excellent. All right, okay. I don't see any other. Everyone's kind of quiet. Okay, now I do have Jennifer was kind of talking when I answered her question earlier about journaling your dreams. And you did confirm that your mother was a victim of physical abuse from your dad, and you had an angel visitation during that age, which, of course, at age, that was more at age 2. that we're more open to. So, and you're asking about measuring your negativity. What I'll do is, since we're running like to the end, I'll put that in a little document that I send out and give that to you if I forgot to do that with you. Okay, all right. Well, everyone, I hope that this is helpful and gives you some insight. As soon as we get the recording up, I'll send an email out and let everybody know that it's available if you want to listen to it again or anything like that. Share it, and I hope it's provided some insight. We're in a place right now where we're not to be afraid of this. We just need to actually, if we look at it as, okay, look at this as a good thing, this is an opportunity, we have a chance to move forward, that's kind of our opportunity here is that, okay, we have a chance to move forward. This is actually propelling us into something else that is much, has a potential to be much, much more positive. And, of course, keep our, you know, heart for those people who are affected and our compassion around them. And, you know, do what we can do and just recognize that, you know, this is not like the beginning of the end times and that we're doomed. And, you know, if I thought it was, trust me, I'd just go off and play with my kids and ride my horse and, you know, that'd be it. So that's not what's happening at all. I know it can seem like that, but that's really not what's happening. Okay, and then someone says, thank you for sharing, Pam. You are so welcome. So I hope this has been helpful, and I'm going to go. I'm surprised my kids aren't here yet. I think my dog's barking at the door. So I want to thank everyone for being here, and I look forward to serving you again. And usually I do these calls about once a month, so I'll look forward to connecting with you guys all again and talk with you soon. Okay, bye. Oops, there you are. Okay, bye. This has been Pam Raglan. I want to thank you for joining me on this innovative series of calls. I hope you've learned something new and valuable that you can take away and pass on to your friends and family. If you'd like to ask me about your own situation or just listen in to learn more about what gets in your way, you can go to my website at www.askpamraglan.com. That's www and then the word ask, A-S-K, and then my name, Pam Ragland, which is P-A-M and then R-A-G-L-A-N-D.com. If you'd like to pass it on to your friends and family members, if they have questions or situations that they need help with, or they might just benefit from listening in, feel free to do that as well. If you'd like more information on thought shifting, you can go directly to my Level 2 program website, which is at www.pamragland.com/level2. That's pamraglan.com/level, L-E-V-E-L, and then the number 2. So please tell your loved ones, friends, and family members about the call, and thanks again for joining me, and have a wonderful day.